I come to you this morning to share the Word of God to you. But I want to begin in a very different way today. But as I come before you, I bring to you my heart as God has poured it into my spirit. And I want to talk to you this morning about passionate pursuit. Passionate pursuit. Before we can go where we must go with God, we must master the basics. Thank you, musicians. We must master the basics. Why the basics, you say? Why do we have to master the common or the basic things? Because everything we do well is the result of mastering the basics. Let me give you some example here. That's why football practice starts with drills every day, just about. That's why professional musicians still practice their scales. The most basic of basics for Christians is to be authentic, to live what we say we believe. So if it's important for football players, if it's important for musicians, I want to take you back to that last statement again. The most basic of basic for Christians is for you and me to be authentic. You know what that means? That means for me and you to be real. For us to be real with God. And to be real with God, you have to live what you say you believe. A lot of people talk a big talk, but when it comes to living it, they have a hard time living it. Amen? I think we've all been in that point and place at different times in our life. But we've got to come to the place as children of God that we live what we say we believe. If we believe it, walk it. If we believe it, talk it. If we believe it, live it. If we believe it, let it be an example of our life and be an example of who we are. Many may not want to admit it, but our culture, listen to this, our culture is spiritually hungry and desperately looking for real Christians. Our culture that we're living in now, even though many may not say it, they may not reveal it, they may not want you to know it and understand it, they're looking for authentic or real, genuine people of God. But they want to find somebody who has lived it and stood in it and seen God working in their life. It's important. But yet in this time of spiritual hunger, listen to me, in this time of spiritual hunger that many may not want to reveal, but yet it is there, can I tell you, in many ways the church has been declining. Even though there's a spiritual hunger among many out there, in many ways the church has been declining. But notice, not because the church will not accommodate the culture. Not because the church cannot create a place where they can see and feel and recognize the Spirit and the power of God. And I want to be careful here, but I want everybody in this house and online to hear it. Many denominations out there, out of fear of being labeled intolerant, have compromised the truth of God's Word. Now, I know that's not a popular statement to make, but it's true. Many, because they don't want to be labeled intolerant, they don't want to be looked at as different, they don't want to be outside the box, they don't want to be in a place that puts them uncomfortable, so they have compromised the truth of the Word of God. But can I ask, so that they can be more culturally accepted in the world? But I want you to listen to me. Do we want to be culturally accepted? Or do we want to stand firmly upon the Word of God? Do we want to be culturally accepted? Or do we want the Word of God to be real in and among us? Now, I can't speak for anybody else, but I speak for myself when I say this. I choose the Word of God. It wasn't popular years ago. It wasn't popular in the Old Testament. It wasn't popular in the New Testament. It's still not popular among many today, but it's still the Word of God, and it has stood true, and it will stand true now. Now, when I say it wasn't popular, that was among those who would not accept the Word, but the Word has always been popular among the people of God. You may say, well, if people are hungry for spirituality, why are they not looking to the church? I'm going to say it again, have to be very careful with this morning, but if they're really hungry, why are they not turning or looking to the church? There may be several answers to this question, but I think a lot of it boils down to this fact, and listen to me close. Many churches and many individual Christians are not real anymore. I know that's not what we want to hear this morning, and I know that's not popular, but why are many people not looking to the church today? Because in many cases, the church may not be real anymore, because in many cases, some individuals may not be real anymore. What are you saying, Pastor? The world looks at the church many times and sees people who say they have been changed, but yet they behave just like the rest of the world. Many people, when they look to the church today, they see people that are supposed to be different, that are supposed to have some manner of change in their life, but in reality, they act just like the rest of the world. Our culture longs to see real Christians today. Let me just say it this way. Our culture longs to see real Christianity today. People that are standing up for God, living for God, and allowing God to be real in their life. That's what the world, the culture longs for. They long for real Christianity. Not perfect Christians, but real Christians. Because you'll know the truth, there's no perfect Christian. There's no perfect person. There's no perfect individual. There's none of us perfect. So the culture's not looking for a perfect Christian, but they're looking for a real child of God, authentic, genuine people of God. And as we approach this issue of authentic or real children of God, we're going to look at the great commandment. And I'm going to ask you to stand with me for the reading of the word in this. We're going to look at the great commandment that's found in Matthew 22. Verse 34 through verse 40 in the Passion Translation of the Bible. When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they called a meeting to discuss how to trap Jesus. Then one of them, a religious scholar, posed this question to test him. Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest? Jesus answered him, love the Lord your God with every passion of your heart, with all the energy of your being, and with every thought that is within you. This is the great and supreme commandment. And the second is like it in importance. You must love your friend in the same way you love yourself. One translation said, love your neighbor. This says, love your friend. Contained within these commandments to love you will find that all the meaning of the law and the prophets. Thank you. Now when you go back and you look at this passage of scripture here, the Pharisees sent an expert in their religious law to test Jesus by asking him a highly debated question of the day. But I want to give you something first of all maybe you never thought about before. You see, the Pharisees, the religious leaders, they observed 613 different commands. You think about that. You're talking about getting stuck in the law. You're talking about getting stuck in religion, if you will. They observed 613 different commands. And they often disagreed over which one was the greatest commandment. So what did they do? They asked Jesus. They went to the right source. They went to the Son of God. They expected him to deny the law. Listen, when they went to Jesus and asked him this question, their expectation is that he would deny the law and be different. But instead, he quoted to them this, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And then he went on to say, and don't forget to love your neighbor as yourself. So what Jesus did, he just quoted back to them what they would state day after day. But yet he brought back the most important thing. Love the Lord your God with all your soul, with all your mind, with all of your heart. Jesus gives us this call here. He gives a call to real Christianity. He gives a call of what being a real child of God is all about. For he said this, we must love God with all that we are. If you're going to be a real child of God, you got to love God with all that you are. And this is important. Half-hearted love is not acceptable when it comes to loving God. It ought not to be acceptable when we come to love one another. Because there's no place for half-hearted love. You either love or you don't. Amen? But Jesus brings him to the places. You got to love him with all your heart. God demands an all-consuming love. And that's very important. He demands an all, which means that everything is involved in how you love. What does it mean to love God with all your heart? Jesus is talking here about an internal motivation that should drive every one of us. He's talking about something that ought to push every child of God. What do you mean? We are to be driven by love for God. It should be what drives us every single day. We are to have a true passion for the Lord. And I want to stop and just ask you right here. You call yourself a child of God, but are you still passionate about Him? You call yourself a child of God, but do you still carry a true inner passion and a love beyond anything else in your heart for God? In Matthew 6 and 21, Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What we treasure reflects our passion. And we have a passion for what we consider to be our treasure. Now I want to back up and make that first statement again. What we treasure reflects our passion. Our problem so often is that we do not treasure God. That's not a popular statement, but I'm going to say it again. Our problem so often is we do not treasure God. What do you mean, Pastor? He is our Savior. He is our friend. We visit with Him once in a while, but He is not our treasure. One who is your treasure, you don't just visit with once in a while. One who is your treasure, you don't just talk to once in a while. A.W. Tozer said it like this, we may want God, but we want something else more. And we get what we want most. We may say we want God, but we get what we want more. And we get what we want the most. We need a passion for God. Amen? I said we need a passion for God. And let me say this. We need a renewed passion for God. Now, what do I mean by passion? Let me first of all start out by telling you what I do not mean. I'm not talking about just an emotion or a feeling when I talk about passion. I'm not talking about something sensual or something romantic when I'm talking about this kind of passion. The kind of passion I'm talking about is found in the Webster definition. It says this, a strong, extravagant fondness, enthusiasm, or desire for something. A strong, extravagant fondness, enthusiasm, or a desire for something. This is the kind of passion that we must have for God. This is how we should live, walk every day for God. We are told to have an all-consuming love for Him. We are told to love Him with all of our heart. That's what the Scripture said. But in 2 Chronicles 15 and 15, it says this, all the people of Judah were happy because they had made this covenant with all their heart. They took delight in worshiping the Lord, and He accepted them and gave them peace on every side. Now I want you to notice what it said here. They were happy. Why? Because they made this covenant with all their heart, and they took delight in worshiping God. Why were they happy? Because they delighted in their worship. Because real worship came out of their heart, and it was given to God. And through this, He gave them peace on every side. He gave them peace in every way. Now, most every one of us as children of God, we know Psalm 42 and verse 1. It says, as the deer pants for the water, so I long for you, O God. You ever heard that one? But I want us to look at the Message translation of that for just a moment. And I paraphrase it this way. As a white-tailed deer drinks from the creek, I want to drink God. Deep draughts of God. I am thirsty for God alive. And I want you to notice what he said. I want to drink God. Deep draughts of God. What does it mean? I want to take God in fully. I want to be satisfied in Him. I want all He is. I want all He has done. I want all of Him inside of me. That sounds like real passion, doesn't it? That sounds like real desire, doesn't it? That sounds like a wonderful longing for God. Yes, I want to tell you, it's the cry of a real child of God. That ought to be the cry of every real child of God. Lord, I want to drink you into my life. I want deep draughts. I'm thirsty for you, Lord. I long for you, God. I need you, God. Some of us are fired up right now. Oh, I want you to hear this. Some of us are excited right now. Some of us are fired up in our spirit. Why? Because we can say that we have this all-consuming passion for God. We have this igniting in our spirit. We have this igniting in our heart, and we are excited right now because of that. But I want you to listen to this next statement. But some don't have this same passion. Why? Because they fit into one or two categories. Everybody's not excited. Everybody's not thrilled right now. Why is that? Some of them need a new heart transplant. Some of them have a new heart, but they have poor circulation. That sounds a little strange, doesn't it? Some of them don't have this passion because they've never locked their heart in with Jesus Christ. They've never locked their heart in with the Lord. But let me just back up and give you something here first. Listen to what the Bible says about our heart and our passion apart from God. What does our heart desire? What does our heart long for? In Genesis 8 and 21, for the intent of man's heart is evil from his youth. Wow. What does that mean? We are born into sin, and sin keeps us from having a passion for God. 2 Chronicles 12, 14, he did evil because he had not set his heart on seeking the Lord. Jeremiah 7, 24, but they did not listen or pay attention. Instead, they followed the stubborn inclinations of their evil hearts. Then in Jeremiah 17 and 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. I want to say that last one more time. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. I want everybody in this house to listen to me right here. If you have never given your life to Christ, it is impossible for you to have a passion for God. If you have never given your heart to God or to Jesus Christ, it is impossible for you to have a passion for the Lord. You can have an interest in God. You have a desire for spiritual things, but you cannot have a true passion for God until He has given you a new heart inside of you. Your heart has to be changed through the blood of Jesus Christ, through the saving grace and the mercy of the Lord. Notice in Ezekiel 36 and 26, and I will give you a new heart. What happens at salvation? He said, I'll give you a new heart, and I will pour a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. What is he saying? When you get saved, he gives you a new heart. He takes out that old stony, ugly, hard, nasty spirit possibly that lived inside of you, and he puts inside of you a tender, responsive heart that will be yielded unto him. The only hope for mankind, Charles, is this. The only hope for mankind is to have a heart renewed in us and for our sins to be removed from our life. The only hope for mankind is for our hearts to be renewed through the blood and have our sins forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. Why, Pastor? Because the heart of man is born with a sickness of sin, but Jesus Christ is the hope for all mankind and the bondage of sin. Jesus is the hope that releases us from the bondage of sin and the burden of sin upon our life. God wants to give you a new heart. I'm going to say that again. Somebody in this room needs to hear it. God wants to give you a new heart, and I'm not just talking to lost people. I'm talking to everybody in this room that it applies to. God wants to give you a new heart. Some people are trying to carry on that they're children of God, but their actions prove different. Some people try to make others believe that they are on fire for God and they're deeply in love with God, but their actions and their responses prove different. You can't say you love God and let the wickedness of sin come out through you. It does not happen that way. Do you understand this morning? God wants to give you a new heart, and he promises this in Matthew 10:16-17. This is the covenant that I will make with them. In the days to come, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts and write them on their minds. And then he says, and I got it in bold letters, I will not remember their sins and evil deeds any longer. Isn't it a wonderful thing, Miss Ashley, to know that he doesn't hold our sin against us any longer when he forgives us of our sin? Now, I'm going to go somewhere this morning, and I'm going to be very careful here, and it's quiet in here, and it may get quieter before it's over. And I'm going to go somewhere this morning because God directed me to go, and I want everybody in this house to listen to me. Why do some have a new heart? They've been saved. They accepted Jesus, correct? Why do some have a new heart, but they don't have a passion for God? Uh-oh. Why do some have a new heart? Why have some been saved, but they don't have a passion for the Lord? They have poor circulation. This may sound simple, it may sound minute for a moment, but listen to me real quick, closely, if you will. They may have allowed sin to clog their spiritual arteries. They may have been saved at some point, but they've allowed sin to clog their spiritual arteries. They may have been saved at some point, but they've allowed sin to clog the love that once was in their heart. And their love may have turned into bitterness. Their love may have turned into anger. Their love may have turned into all manner of things. But listen, maybe their passion for God has grown cold. And I'm going to make a statement here. Listen to me. You can love God or you can love God. I hope everybody in this house is listening to me. I hope you're focused. I preach to you because I love you. This has been burning in me for 3 weeks. I got to give you my heart. You can love God or you can love God. That may not make a lot of sense to some folks, but you can love God or you can love God. Some people love God, but they don't love God. We know deep down when we don't love God with all of our heart. Somebody hear this preacher today. We know deep down inside of us when we don't love God with all our heart. Ain't nobody got to tell you, and preacher ain't got to tell you. Nobody else got to tell you because you know it deep down inside of you. You know it in your heart. We love him. We want to follow him, but not as much as we do other things. God help us right here. But remember, we get what we want the most. We get what we desire the most. Revelation 2:4 said, nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. We don't like to hear that, do we? He said, I got something against you. You one time loved me, but you don't love me like you used to. You one time was deeply passionate about me, but you're not passionate about me anymore. You one time deeply desired me, but you don't desire me anymore. How do you know, Pastor? It proves in our actions, in our words, in our deeds, in what we do. Perhaps this is true of you. You know your passion has been choked out by other things. Listen, we know if we're really passionate about God or not. We know if we really love God or not. We know if we're really where we need to be or not. Nobody's got to tell you. You know where you are. And perhaps you're in this room today and you're in that place that you're not as passionate for God as you once was. You're not in the place where you once were. But notice what Revelation 2 and 5 says. It's for you. It says, look how far you have fallen. But then he said, turn back to me and do the works you did at first. What's God saying? I recognize you fallen. I recognize you drifted. But I'm calling out to you now. Turn around from where you are and come back to me. Run back into my arms. Run back into my mercy. Run back into my grace and do your first works again. If you left your first love, if you've lost your passion for God, he's urging you to turn back. I told you it may get quieter in here before it's over. If you've lost your first love, if you've drifted from that place with God and you no longer have the passion you used to have, he's urging you to come back. But listen to this preacher. You can recover the love you once had. You can recover the place where you once were. You can come back to where you walked away. And I want to be very careful right here. You may look like you've got it all together. And maybe nobody would question your love for God. But you know that it's just an outside thing that you've lost the inside passion. Nobody else may not ever question it. Nobody else may not ever recognize it. Nobody else may never know it. They may never realize it. But you know. You know it's just on the outside. You know it's just surface. You know that it's not right inside of you. You know when your passion is real or not. You know when you're right with God or not. You know the place where you are. But a Revelation 3 and 1 said, I know your works and that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. We don't like to hear this kind of preaching in this modern day, but I got to give you my heart this morning. He said, I know your works, that you have a name. He said, you got a name that you're alive. You got a name that you're well. You got a name. In other words, you're putting on the religious facade. You're putting on the outside scene. You're making everybody looks like, everybody thinks that you're well. Everybody thinks everything's okay. Everything looks like it's all right in your life. The outer picture looks great, but on the inside, you are dead. What he's saying. And there's some people in this room this morning. God is speaking to your heart. God is talking to your life. God is speaking to you right where you are. Because it's not what it's on the outside that's going to get you into heaven. It's what's on the inside. And when things get right on the inside, it ain't a painted picture on the outside anymore. It's reality. Oh, God, help this pastor this morning. God knows your heart. Everybody in this house, listen to me. I want you to look at me right now. Look at me real close. Look at me. Focus on me just for a minute. Not for me, but to hear him. God knows your heart. You cannot fool God. You can fool me. You can fool the person sitting next to you. You can fool your husband, you can fool your wife, you can fool your children, you can fool almost anybody. But you cannot fool God. And I got to say, if this is your condition this morning, if you're tired of acting passionate, but you want to be passionate, if you're tired of playing church, but you want to be real with God, it's not too late to recover your love for him. It's not too late to recover your passion for him. In James 4 and 8 it says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. He says it very plain. He said, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Somebody said, well, how do I do that, Pastor? How can I really draw nigh to God? Listen to me. Worship and serve God out of love, not obligation. When we come in here on Sunday morning, do you worship just because Leslie asked you to? Do you worship just because you don't want to look different than anybody else? Do you worship just because it seemed like the right thing to do? Or do you worship because it's coming out of a heart of love? It's coming out of a spirit of God, or a spirit of love for God. It's coming out of a heart of compassion for the Lord. You got to worship and serve Him out of love. Can I ask you, when's the last time you truly sang out of a heart in worship? When's the last time you truly sang out of your heart in worship and you really got real in your worship? When's the last time you really poured your love out upon God? Ooh, it's quiet in here. When's the last time you really poured your love out upon God? I'm not talking about just saying it. Talking about really doing it. Leslie, I want to thank you that this morning you got us on our faces before God. I was on my face for a few moments. I want to thank you. When's the last time you really poured your love out on Him? Pastor, how did I draw nigh to God? You got to make time for pursuit of God. We make time to pursue everything else, but how often we forget to pursue God. We make time in pursuit of so many other things in our life. Why? Because it seems like it's important to us. I got to get this done. I got to get that done. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to do that. All these other things. We make time for pursuit of those items. When's the last time you made time for pursuit of God? When we draw near to God, listen, Kathy, when we draw near to God, this book says, Kelsey, He'll draw near to us. When we draw near to God, He will draw near to us. I want everybody in this house to listen to me. I'm closing. If you want to renew your passion for God, you got to draw near to Him. You can't keep walking at a distance. You cannot keep walking in the shadows and pretending like everything's okay. You cannot keep walking in the shadows hoping it's going to get better. You cannot keep walking in the shadows hoping and praying that someday something's going to be different. It's not going to be different until you start pursuing God. It's not going to change until you start pursuing God. It's not going to be different until you go after God with all of your heart. 2 Timothy 2:21, pursuing righteous living, faithfulness, love and peace. Don't you notice that first part? Pursuing righteous living. Pursuing God means you go after God with all your heart. Pursuing God means you go after Him with everything in you. Pursuing God means you go after Him and you focus on Him. You go after Him with urgency. Pursuing God doesn't mean you nonchalantly seek Him or you haphazardly go after Him or you hit or miss in your relationship with Him. Pursuing God, Shelby, means you put everything you got in it. It means you put everything you got in it. You put your whole heart, your whole mind, your soul, your body, your strength, everything you have, you put in it. Why? Because you want Him. Colin and Lauren said it so powerfully last week, but I'm going to restate it again. We are in a time of reset in this church. We're in a time of reset in the church of God. I'm not talking about the denomination, I'm talking about the church of God. We're in a time of reset. It is a time for revival. And I believe it's a time of reviving like we haven't seen in a long period of time. And if you're going to find that place, you must respond to God. You got to go after Him with full pursuit. You got to go after Him with everything that is within you. But once you go after Him, you got to respond to Him with everything that's in your heart. And perhaps this morning, during this service, God has been dealing with you. Stand to your feet. Perhaps in this service today, God has been stirring in your heart. God has been stirring in your mind. God has been stirring inside of you. I got to get real with you one more moment. And I'm going to give this altar call. Preaching like this is not an enjoyment for a preacher. But preaching like this is an urgency. It's something we have to do. Because listen to me, we can't play games with God anymore. We can't be on the outside looking in anymore. We can't hang off in the shadows anymore. God is calling us in. He's drawing us in. He's wooing us in by the Spirit of the Lord. And I sincerely mean this with all my heart. I love you with everything that is within me, and I want you to be ready to meet the Lord no matter what. I want you to be prepared and be in the right place no matter what. But that being said, it's time to stop playing church. It's time to stop playing religion. It's time to stop playing the game. I know that's not for everybody in this room, but it's for somebody in this room. It's time to stop playing the game. And I'm going to get real in another moment. You got to stop patting yourself on the back, and you got to stop feeling sorry for yourself, and you got to stop feeling pitiful in where you are, and you got to stand up and be the man or the woman of God that God called you to be, and quit feeling sorry for yourself, but man up, woman up, and do what God called you to do. Oh, we all go through the tough places. We all go through the hard moments. We all go through the hard times. But I feel this in the direction of the Holy Spirit. You can't be down and out all the time because of what you've gone through. God's calling you to rise up where you are, man up, woman up, and become and do what God has called you to do. That being said, I'm not going to beg, I'm not going to plead this morning, but I feel this with all of my heart. If you need a reset in your life, if you need revival in your heart, if you need a renewed passion inside of you, if you need to get back something that you have lost, if you have been distant from God, I'm asking you today to come with a passionate pursuit of Him this morning. Get out of your seat right now and get out here as quickly as you can. Some of you done forgot what I said in the beginning. If you need a reset, if you need a revival in your spirit, if you need God to renew the passion in your life, listen to me. I thank God for these two that's in this altar, but you want to get real for a moment? You want to get real for a moment? There's a lot of people in this building right now that's been struggling with passion lately. It's not that you don't love God. It's not that you don't care about God. It's not that you don't want to serve God. But let's get real for a moment. There's people in this room that other things have taken place over your pursuit of God. It's taken place over your passion for God. But today, God is calling you back. God is wooing you. He said, turn around. It's not popular. It's not easy. If you've lost something that you need to get back, and let's just get real for a minute. If you're distant from God, you need that reset in your life. I'm asking you to come right now with a passionate pursuit. Come now with a passionate pursuit. Play it softly, Colin. I'm going to wait for about 30 seconds, and then we're going to move forward.